It is now, we are relieved that you are here. We were a bit concerned that you were not going to come. As a result, we started the tribunal. And, well, it is not your fault. We know what is the situation. Insofar as monies are concerned in this government, we are trying by all means that we need to save as much as we can. I think we need to applaud you that you are listening to the government. Yeah, they are listening to the government. Yeah. They never slept here in Cape Town. They are from Pretoria this morning. We need to applaud them. They're saving. Having said that, can I hand over to... Yes.
Are they going back to Pretoria today, or are they going to sleep 2 days?
Well, I'll speak on their behalf. These are true patriots. They'll go back this evening to Pretoria.
All right.
Yeah. Can you then hand over to ITEC to give us a presentation on their annual report? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. You've made it quite easy for us. The first thing I was going to do was to apologize for not having made it for the allotted time. Thanks, Chair. I'm not going to waste time. Firstly, I'll introduce the ITEC delegation. On my left is Zanopolo Oyana, who's our financial officer. And on my right, Felix Neyman, his senior manager, import and export control. And then Lihle Mndebele, she is the senior manager, human resources management. Chair, honorable members, the presentation covers the items that you see in the table of contents. I will deal with the items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7. And then Felix Neyman, who heads our import and export control unit, will handle item 6 on import and export control. And then the remaining items 8, 9, 10 will be handled by the CFO, the items on the financials. Chair, by way of introduction, South Africa's producers of industrial and agricultural goods will continue to experience cost pressures and global market distortions, which means that we are at ITEC going to continue to see South African companies knocking at our doors for support. We, however, want to emphasize that the ITEC support must be complemented by measures that seek to address competitiveness constraints and promote exports. The competitiveness constraints form part and parcel of the domestic economic challenges the country faces, in particular the prices of inputs. Post the economic crisis, the year 2012-13 that preceded the year under review saw the highest number of tariff increases. We reached a peak in 2012-2013 in terms of import tariff increases, and we are now seeing a downward trend. We will talk more about this in the slide on the trend analysis on tariff increases. Although the global economy is recovering, it is not yet robust, which has a negative effect in weakening demand for our exports. This necessitates addressing the domestic challenges a priority. As you may be aware, honorable members, the Commission follows a developmental approach to tariff setting for both industrial and agricultural goods. The Commission's recommendations are evidence-based and conducted on a case-by-case basis, and therefore we follow a pragmatic approach to tariff setting, focusing on the outcomes that is promoting domestic production, investment, job retention and creation, as well as international competitiveness. And so in terms of the policy approach, there is no determined position to either have a wholesale increase of import tariffs nor a wholesale reduction of import tariffs. This is a slide that some of you honorable members are familiar with, a reminder about our key strategic objectives, performance areas, and services. That's a slide just looking at ITEC as an integrated whole, and the key thing with regards to our instruments being the quality and turnaround times. What you see from that chart, honorable members, is the total number of applications and the number recommended or approved by the Commission for each year. From the first 5 years, what you see is a downward trend, both in terms of applications and recommendations by the Commission. That was the period when the policy framework was to reduce tariffs in general and to consider tariff increases under exceptional circumstances. And also this was the period where economic growth rates were relatively strong. The global economy was also relatively strong, and therefore there was less pressure on domestic manufacturers to approach ITEC for tariff support. But from 2008-2009, we begin to see an upward trend in applications for tariff increases and also approvals by the Commission for those tariff increase applications. And this is just after the economic crisis, which really placed domestic producers under enormous pressure. This is also the period where we saw the DTI calling for a higher impact industrial policy. 2009 was the launch of the first IPEP, and there was in it a shift in tariff policy, a shift towards a developmental approach. We're seeing that 2012-13 was the upper end of these increases, and that we do not foresee anything higher in the near future. As you can see from 2012-13 to the last year, 13-14, the trend has already started going downwards. There are a number of reasons why this is the case, including the bindings of tariffs that we've made under the WTO. Also, where we have productive capacity and there's a need for tariffs, already we have tariff support in place. The SAEU agreement also has an impact in the sense that with those products, both industrial and agricultural, where now the tariffs are at zero, when we increase tariffs, we cannot increase them against imports originating from the European Union. And lastly, the other reason is that of food security, where we do not only consider the profitability for farmers during our evaluation of applications for tariff support, but we also have to look at food affordability. Prices for food, in particular for the poor. If you look at the import tariff reduction, it's the reverse of what we saw on tariff increases. You have an upward trend from 2003-04 to 2006-07, and a downward trend from 2007-08. Which is also reflective of both the changes in economic conditions and the government policy shift. And so if you look at both trends, the tariff increases and tariff reductions over the 11 years since ITEC was established, we can safely say that the Commission over the period of the 11 years has been quite flexible and adaptive and remained relevant throughout that period in relation to government policy. In that slide, honorable members, we provide a list of tariff investigations. Firstly, with regards to tariff increases, these investigations were completed during the year under review. You can see the applicants in the first column, various companies, industry associations, and some few investigations that were self-initiated by the Commission. And one of the big investigations that we would want to highlight is the one on sugar, which led to the Commission recommending a dollar-based reference price from $358 per ton to $566, effectively increasing protection for the sugar farmers and the mills. It's one of the investigations that also landed us in court, but the court ruled in our favor. The other big one was the one on imported chicken, which was brought by the South African Poultry Association, complaining that they are struggling to compete with cheap priced imports of chicken. And this led us recommending to the minister to increase tariffs on the various types of chicken meat that you see there, whole bird, boneless cuts, bone-in portions, offal and carcasses. On the next slide, honorable members, we have applications for rebates. Rebates are a waiver on existing import duties. They have the same effect as reducing import tariffs. As you can see from the investigations completed, these are rebate provisions that range from products such as fabrics to fruit juice concentrates. These are products that are used for manufacturing and products. We continue in the next slide with the rebates. And one of the important rebates that was initiated by EDD that we created was a rebate to the effect of amending the APDP, the new incentive scheme for the automotive industry. We had to make an adjustment to the APDP to allow for the inclusion of mini buses or taxis that are now being assembled domestically. And so that industry benefits now under the APDP. And we also gave assistance to the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of making adjustments to one of the rebate provisions that are within the IDZ. In the next slide, we have tariff investigations with regards to tariff reductions. As you can see, we had a lot of applications for us to reduce tariffs on specific products that you see listed in that slide, the vast majority of which were rejected by the Commission. The reason for these rejections is that these products are produced domestically, and so if you reduce tariffs, they are going to face a fierce import competition. And also, some of them, even if they are not produced, but they are substitute products that are being produced domestically. And so we would reject these applications to reduce tariffs on these products so as to encourage and promote domestic production. And so we had quite a few tariff reductions, only four for the year under review. Honorable members, ITEC is responsible for the administration of the Automotive Industry Development Program, which has now been replaced by the Automotive Production and Development Program, the APDP, replacing the MIDP. On 1st January 2013, the APDP replaced the MIDP. The APDP is a customs-based product comprising a component of tariffs as well as rebates. It has what we call the production incentive, the volume assembly allowance, and the automotive investment scheme. The automotive investment scheme is administered by the DTI, but the rest of the program is administered by ITEC. The DTI makes the policy, and ITEC administers the program. As you may be aware, honorable members, through this policy intervention, we've witnessed increased investments and growth in the automotive industry. It's one of the resilient and stable industries in manufacturing. And so in the year under review, we provide the number of rebate credit certificates that were issued within the set time frames. Also the productive asset allowance certificates under the MIDP that will now come to an end at the end of this year as we are phasing out the MIDP. At the end, the last bullet point, those are certificates issued under the APDP and done within the set time frames. You may, honorable members, you may have seen yesterday's business day that Nigeria has joined the race in Africa to expand its motor industry. And in terms of the relations that the DTI has established with the Nigerian government, I think we stand to benefit from the value chains that are going to arise out of the growth of that industry in Nigeria. The values of these certificates that we adjudicate and issue to the industry run to a couple of billions of rands annually. Again, the success of this industry has largely been attributed to this clear industrial policy, the automotive production and development program. We also have at ITEC the instruments we refer to as trade remedies. Under trade remedies, we have three instruments. It's anti-dumping, that is action against dumped imports. We also have countervailing measures against subsidized imports. We also have safeguards against unforeseen and sudden surge of imports. As you can see from the slide, the instrument that's mostly used is anti-dumping. Anti-dumping basically refers to firms that would sell goods into an export market at prices that they are selling in their domestic markets. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. However, when such exports cause material injury in a foreign market, the WTO rules allow countries to act against dumping that causes injury. And so we provide the list of products where we have conducted investigations with regards to safeguards. On the first one, frozen potato chips, which is quite a big market if you look at household use and the fast foods. It's an application that was brought by McCain Foods, the biggest producer, but supported by other smaller producers, which led to ITEC recommending to the minister to impose safeguard duties against cheap imports, in particular from the EU. We also, for the first time, did an investigation for Botswana. You might be aware, honorable members, that as South Africa, we are part of the Southern African Customs Union, SACU. The key features of the union are that within the union, there's free movement of goods and also a common external tariff. In the absence of a joint setting mechanism under SACU, the ITEC was mandated by SACU, composed of South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, and Namibia, to do investigations on behalf of the union. And so for the first time, we did an investigation on behalf of Botswana, which led to an imposition of measures to protect them from imports from the U.S., imports of soda ash. In the next slide, honorable members, we continue with trade remedies. Once anti-dumping duties have been imposed, they shall remain in place for a period not exceeding 5 years. And so within that 5 year period, there would be what we call sunset reviews. If no sunset review is initiated, usually in the last year, the duties lapse the 5th year, the duties would lapse. And so a sunset review may result in maintaining increasing duties or result in the termination of duties. And in that list, we provide the products for which we conducted sunset reviews and the status of the investigations, some of which during the period under review were still in process. In that slide, we just showing investigations that would have been carried over from the previous years. Since these investigations take 10 to 12 months and some exceptional ones would go to more than 12 months. Honorable members, at this stage, I'm going to allow Philip to cover the two slides on import and export control. Over to you, Philip.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll briefly, as explained by the Chief Commissioner, just touch on the import and export control instrument of the International Trade Administration Commission. ITAC controls the importation and exportation of certain goods in terms of Section 6 of the International Trade Administration Act, and control is mainly exercised to comply with health, environmental requirements, technical specifications, and international agreements. During the 2013-2014 financial year, import permits issued amounted to 17,332 against a target of 13,500. The majority of permits issued were for the following imported products: marine resources, these are all the fish and crustacea and so on, mineral fuels and oils, chemicals, including chemicals with an ozone depleting potential, and chemicals that could be used in the illegal manufacture of drugs and psychotropic substances, also rubber and products and tires, metals, mechanical appliances, including machinery and equipment, Chairperson, and then also automotives. On the export permit side, export permits issued during the same period amounted to 10,013 against a target of 7,500. Below is reflected the chapter and then also the description of the goods for which permits were issued, and then also the number of permits issued in each instance. Then the next slide, Chairperson and Honourable Members. During 2013, the Minister of Economic Development issued a policy directive in terms of Section 5 of the International Trade Administration Act, directing ITAC to regulate the exportation of ferrous and non-ferrous waste and scrap by not allowing ferrous and non-ferrous waste and scrap to be exported unless it's first been offered to the domestic consuming industry, consumers of scrap metal that is, for a period determined by ITAC and at a price preference determined by ITAC. The policy intent is to promote scrap metal beneficiation, to reverse the decline in the metal fabrication consuming industries, to allow the domestic industry to have access to affordable quality scrap, and then also to supply inputs to government infrastructure programs. ITAC therefore published on 16 September 2013 in terms policy guidelines in terms of which ferrous and non-ferrous waste and scrap must first be offered to local consuming industries, that's the foundries and mills and mini mills, for a period of 15 working days at a discount price that is also determined by ITAC before it can be exported. ITAC published also amended guidelines on 12 September 2013 in the process of strengthening the administration of the price preference system. And then recently, ITAC also published the intention to review the preferential rates for information and comment on 19 September to have differentiated rates for the different types of scrap metal. So this means basically that the discount prices calculated by ITAC is currently based on an international index, and the discount is 20% of that international index. It appeared since the introduction of the price preference system that for the different types of scrap metal, different price discounts would be more applicable in assisting the local consuming industry. So therefore, the intention was published to increase the current rate of discount and requesting industry to comment on the possibility of doing so. Then within about a year, ITAC also has of the intent to conduct the impact study to see what has transpired since the introduction of the price preference system, to see whether it did in fact assist the local consuming industry in acquiring affordable quality scrap. Then I can also say, Chairperson and Honourable Members, that ITAC also contributes to the overall strategy of curbing copper theft. ITAC is not the policeman in this instance. There is the Non-Ferrous Crime Combating Committee, which is chaired by General Sabia, and where all the different police units slot into, and there are also more or less 16 in total departments and agencies also participating. ITAC is also included in this process, and then there are also about 6 or 7 industry sectors also participating in this program. So ITAC's responsibility in this regard is providing information on permits issued, on exporters, and so on. So, Chairperson, with that said, I think that brings me to the end of the import and export control slides.
Thanks, Philip. Chair, before I hand over to the CFO, I'll cover this. The last slide on judicial reviews. It's important, Honourable Members, that you are aware of the challenge that we face as an institution, that of court challenges, challenges to our processes, the substantive issues that we consider in each and every investigation, and the recommendations that we make to the Minister. This is as a result of different and conflicting interests in the value chain of each investigation that may lead to court challenges by parties that stand to lose. The stakes in these investigations, honorable members, are quite high. The outcomes of these investigations impact directly on the profitability and share prices of businesses. In respect of court cases, ITEC appeared in the domestic courts 24 times, High Court, Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court. We appeared 24 times since our establishment in June 2003. Some of the industries and companies that have taken us to court would include companies like Score Metals, Algorex, associations like the South African Tire Manufacturers, the Association of Meat Importers and Exporters, the Metal Recyclers, with regards to the export controls that we have on scrap metal. And some of the companies that would take us to court would be foreign companies that we would be acting against. We had one, Farm Fries from Belgium, and one, Sazar from Germany. We also had the case involving the Association of South African Sugar Importers. Those are just examples of some of the parties that would normally take us to court. I do have a full list. We can provide that to the honorable members. Out of the 24 cases, 16 were ruled in favor of ITEC and 8 against, and the 8 were mostly in the early days of ITEC. Our success in court is, honorable members, attributable to our compliance to domestic law, both in terms of the procedures that we must follow in these investigations and the substantive issues that we must consider, as well as being consistent in what we do to the WTO rules. Other jurisdictions face similar challenges, although in differing degrees. There is also the WTO dispute settlement mechanism within which government-to-government disputes are addressed. We have been there twice, but in both cases, these cases ended during the consultation stage, government-to-government consultations, and therefore we've never really appeared before a WTO panel review. I'll now hand over, Chair, to the CFO to cover the last items.
Thanks, Chief Commissioner. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll be taking you through to the slides, governance, part, compliance, and internal controls at ITEC. ITEC do comply with the relevant legislation, and we do have effective governance strategies where that guide us in terms of implementing the PFMA and the treasury regulations. We also have a checklist that we is championed by our legal unit, where we will check on a quarterly basis, and then we will complete to confirm compliance to the PFMA. ITEC maintains internal controls that are effective, and we do conduct risk. So if we identify any risk, so our controls, we always do our best to make sure that the controls are managed, helping to manage the risk in the organization. ITEC uses the risk management unit, which reports to the risk committee. We also have internal audit that also assist in terms of identifying any risk and also give us their recommendation if there are things that they are identified. ITEC also has the executive committee and management committee that is also where everyone in management report in terms of the work they do, including their controls in the units. The internal controls, also we have the committees. We also have an audit committee that we report to in terms of assisting us in reviewing and also assessing our controls. So if there is anything that is identified, then corrective actions will be referred to the relevant people within the organization. The next slide, risk management and also audit committee. I'll talk to risk management first. As I highlighted earlier on, we have a risk management committee which reviews the risk of the organization, because we do risk assessment once in a year, and then the risk officer then will be responsible for coordinating and also checking if the risk is being managed or mitigated. Then if there is a change in terms of the level of our risk minimized or maybe addressed, they will be referred to our internal audit, who will help confirm for the risk committee whether whatever is highlighted as a reduced or mitigated or addressed risk. Then the recommendation then will be made by the risk management committee to the chief commission, after that work by the internal audit. Also, ITEC executive committee, they play their role in terms of monitoring the internal controls and the risk. In those committees that I highlighted earlier on, the MANCO and the executive committee, which is our ESCO. So the risk management committee, which is a subcommittee of our audit committee, they conduct the review of the organizational risk and make those recommendations, which are also interrogated at the audit committees. As per the audit committee report, the committee held 4 meetings, which is a minimum requirement for the audit committee, which is 4 meetings. According to the risk, to the audit committee, the internal controls at ITEC are applied, and also the financial risk and management risk are effective and also efficient and transparent. The audit committee expressed satisfaction in terms of the quality of the reporting by ITEC management. Then the audit committee also, in terms of their assessment of the internal audit, which is the structure that assists audit committee in terms of the work of assessing internal controls, is also doing its work effectively. Can we go to the slide? If I can highlight things that came straight from the Auditor General, the irregular expenditure for ITEC is 391,621. Then the breakdown of that, the amount of 185,000, if I can just make the committee understand it, is the irregular expenditure identified by Auditor General in 2011-2012 on the ongoing contracts, where we awarded without giving a criteria. So as the AG recommendation, we are required to classify each and every expense in those contracts until they come to an end as irregular. So that 185 is an expense that emanates from the contract since 2011-2012. So we recognize that. The only irregular that was incurred during the financial year is the one on the second bullet for 205,000, where a BEE contribution was awarded to a company that did not submit the certificate. And also, one of the service providers submitted a colored copy of the tax clearance certificate, though we did confirm with SARS that the company was tax compliant. Then SARS could not provide us with the original, because they said if the company is given a new tax clearance for the new financial year, that means the company was tax compliant. But Auditor General said if you don't have an original, it is irregular. So that's why we recognize it as a finding by auditors. We did not have any fruitless or wasteful expense for 2012-2013. And then those irregular expenditure of 391,000 that I highlighted, we have a written submission for the chief to approve, to condone it, and submitted to Auditor General in terms of the SM rules and also the Auditor General. I can continue. ITEC has an unqualified audit opinion in terms of 2013, with the exception of those items I highlighted of the irregular expenditure. We have developed, in terms of addressing the Auditor General findings, we developed the action plan, which is going to help us to ensure that we address the recommendations and also actions that are necessary to improve controls of what was found by AG, and also to make sure going forward we do not have a repeat of whatever was not right. So the submission, these findings we submit to internal audit so that they can also interrogate whether whatever we said is the finding, is the action for the finding really address what was identified. Then they will give us feedback in terms of how we addressed. Then also the executive committee, they play their role in terms of, because what internal audit reports to EXCO and MENCO of the work that has been done by addressing the AG findings. So executive committee play a role of monitoring after the internal audit. Next slide, we just highlighting the financial position of ITEC. ITEC, we are in a sound financial position because we do have funds to run the organization. The total amount of assets in terms of our balance sheet is 33.8 million, and then our total liabilities is 12.6 million. So that means we've got more money to pay whatever we owe, and we'll still have money remaining. So if I take a breakdown of the 33.8 million, an amount of about 90% is the money in our bank account. And then the 8% is for our account receivable, and 2% is a fixed asset, which is our equipment. So the reason why it's too slow, is too small, is because some of the assets during that financial year were coming to an end in terms of the useful life. If you go to the next one, on liabilities, our liabilities is 12.6 million, and the breakdown, about 30% is other liabilities, which will include our leave, short-term leave, and then the provisions. And then the other amount, about 34%, is non-current liabilities, which is mainly the leave of employees, like those kept leave from the previous years before the introduction of the legislation that say we should not kept leave. And then the other one is just the operating liabilities, which is non-current. Next one is revenue for ITEC. We had 82 million, which is the money that we had as revenue, mostly which it comes from the department. But our spending was 82.9 million, and it went over by about 890,000 rand. These expenses that are more than what was budgeted for, they were financed from the retained surplus, because the money that was not spent in the previous financial year, we make an application to National Treasury. The National Treasury will give us permission to keep the money, which we can reallocate where we are having operational gaps. Instead of applying for additional funding, we use the retained retained earnings. So that's why now I'm saying that 809, as much as it appears a deficit, if you go to our statement of changes in liquidities where our surplus are sitting, we are still on the positive, because we still have about 20 million sitting that amount. So 97% of ITEC surplus is the allocation from the department, and then about 1% is the other income, the money that we collect from the Department of DGI, where we seconded one of our employees, and then we were recovering that money back. And then the 2% relates to the money that is sitting in the bank, where we generate interest on that. Expense-wise, 74% is mainly paid to employees, then 25% is for operational expenses, and then other 1% relate to our depreciation. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thanks, Commissioner and the team, for the presentation. Can you break for lunch? for no, I'm not. Well, you're saying you're so close to finish. Huh? What's the time now? We've asked for lunch at 12:30. Yeah, that's why you asked for lunch at 12:30. Then you have it for 20 minutes and then you come back and finish the job. Yeah. Yeah. Just 20 minutes break.
Ngifuna nje baba ukuthi ngiyahluphe lapho. Hey, ngibambeni kula maveja sasazi wadinga nini. Hey. Yabona babu Sheikh.
Hello.
Asibambe lezi zihlaza ngoba awuzazi uyidinga nini emzimbeni.
Ah, basho njalo.
Hey.
Kodwa nazo asazi ukuthi zijama kanjani.
Eh, nayi inkinga phela, nayi inkinga. Nayi inkinga. Zozo ngodokotela ngizekutshela ukuthi fa udla amaveli xa kunangamhlola wami.
Ngoba ngiyawazi.
Ngoba ngiyawazi nje. Kanti uyakutshela no G kake manje dla wona wona.
Thank you.
I'm not